Hi, BBs. Welcome to another edition of the Burn Black Audio Zine, your place for mental health, astrology, wellness, and self-help.
You are wheeling down the same road I thought you had left by now, given the damage they've caused.
Welcome to another week's episode of the Burn Black Audio Zine. How are you guys doing? I have a huge announcement. I felt a little weird about making such a big deal out of it, but I know that if I do make a big deal out of it, I will commit to it. So I've decided this is the year 2020, my New Year's resolution. I'm going vegetarian, officially. I've been kind of toying with vegetarianism over the last year, which is interesting because I was a pretty diehard meat eater my entire life, and my dad was a butcher, and we were a pretty meat and potatoes family. But I was just eating some turkey over Thanksgiving, and I realized I don't really enjoy this anymore, and I was just sort of eating it to be full more than I was actually enjoying it. And I realized that, like, if I was eating an animal, I should really appreciate it. Like, I shouldn't be eating it in vain, choking it down. And it just made me feel incredibly guilty. And it also made me realize how much I feel like chemically my body has changed in the last few years, especially over the last year. And I never really thought I would say that. And I think that that just speaks to how much growth I've done. Not that you guys have to all go vegetarian or that there's anything like honorable about going vegetarian, but I just am in a different place now and I just don't enjoy eating animals anymore at all. Like, I kind of am over it. Like, I even used to say that I wasn't able to give up steak because steak was like my favorite food. And recently I had a steak for the first time in a long time. I can't usually afford such a delightful meal, such an expensive meal. And let me just say, like, a good French, like, peppercorn steak, I kind of still crave. But I just didn't get the enjoyment the last time I ate steak that I used to. So I think I am breaking up with eating animals, guys. So that is my commitment to 2020, new me. It's just an extension of the old me. I keep growing and expanding. What a Jupiter to return year. Anyway, guys, I have a really special episode for you this week. So I've been trying to find my astro twin for a long time. I found some astro twins that were pretty close to my chart, but not entirely. And again, two charts are never going to be exactly identical. But I have found a few people over the years that share similar placements overall. And that's interesting. One of which is my friend Colin. Colin is also a writer and a zinester and does their own audio zine called Life Harvester. And they do a monthly Patreon where they can actually send you their newsletter in the mail. Who doesn't enjoy a gift in the mail? It's like $3. If you have the means to sign up for it, sign up for it. Colin wrote a book called Slice Harvester a few years ago about their adventure trying to eat every slice of pizza in New York City, rating them, reviewing them, as a good zinester does. And also it was a bit about what made them get sober. So it was an interesting read, a fast read. I recommend getting it if you like that sort of thing. Otherwise, honestly, if Colin still has their zines available, get the zines. They're really cool. All the covers are really funny. There's one with the Ramones on the cover, but with pizza heads. So, yeah. So Colin is one person that has a similar chart to me, but we have a different moon. But everything else is the same, pretty much, in our charts, except for our moon and two house placements. So that's interesting. And today I have another one of my astro twins that I found, and their name is Tara, and they are an Akashic Records reader from Calgary, Alberta. I enjoyed getting to know Tara a lot. We have a lot in common, and what was really cool, and one of the reasons that I love finding my astro twin, is because I've had a lot of uncertainty in my life. My parents both died before the age of 12, so there's a lot of, like, what if they survived? Like, what if I had been born with parents, what would that look like? And the more and more that I talk to people who have my sun and my moon and my rising sign, and along with other elements in my charts like Tara does, a lot of my own story starts to make sense. And so that's really interesting to me. And so I hope to have Tara back on the podcast to discuss that. But today we kind of stuck to the Akashic Records. And I'm really excited about this conversation. I love Tara. Tara is somebody I can't wait to get to know better. And honestly, I wish I lived in the area so I could attend all of their classes and workshops, because it just seems so serene when I look at all their pictures. They really know how to use a space and utilize a space in all its beauty. And that's something I try my best to create here, but it's been hard to find spaces in Chicago. So shout out to anyone if you know of any spaces in Chicago. I would really like to start doing more workshops. So strap in, get ready. It's another week's episode of the Burn Black Audio Zine. I don't know where it's going, but hopefully when we get there, it'll be interesting.
Oh, here's the kitty.
Oh, sorry about that. Oh, God. Are you allergic to cats?
No. I love cats. What's his name?
His name's Grandpa. I named him that because he's a reincarnation of my grandpa.
Hi, how's the weather in Canada right now?
Ooh, well, it kind of depends on where you live in Canada.
That's fair.
So I'm in Alberta, but we have snow, but it's not freezing. But it was.
Ah, do you like the snow? Are you a snow person or are you more of a summer person?
I really, really love the summer. Because mm-hmm. you can be outside and be in nature a little bit more. But the winter, the snow is very beautiful. And I don't live in the city. So I'm fortunate to live out in the country. So it's beautiful. But I don't necessarily love it.
That's fair. I would have a very similar response. We are both Aquarius, let's note that. So my birthday was always in the winter time, and so I was always jealous of my friends who had summer birthdays because I'm a water baby and I feel alive in water, and I always just wanted to have a pool party. But there is something really beautiful about a winter wonderland and snow and just drinking hot chocolate and being cozy.
Yeah. What is it like for you guys right now?
Chicago weather is so interesting. Midwest weather is interesting because one day it will be extremely cold and windy, and then the next day it'll just like go up 30 degrees and we'll have like a random 60 degree day. And I'm like, hey, it's t-shirt time. But today is just sort of in the middle. It's about 40 degrees right now, and there's a car alarm going off outside of my apartment, which is just fabulous when you're podcasting. So I apologize for that. Hopefully I can edit it out. But what else would you expect when two Aquariuses meet? for everything erratic to happen.
Well, and together, look at us.
Yes, we were talking, and this morning you were kind of not having the most grounded morning, and I kind of feel like that's normal for me. Like, I get my boost around 2 o'clock in the afternoon generally. That's when, like, I feel most connected. When do you feel most connected, or does it just depend?
Well, this is the thing. I feel like my rhythm and flow used to be that way, but now it is early in the morning.
Like, I what get did up you early. Do to change that? Or did it happen naturally?
Definitely not naturally, but I like, you know, sleeping. I find I'm so much more productive if I'm up earlier. I just start doing things, and then as the day goes, it starts drifting. But then I bounce back, but usually like 3.
That's fair. It's interesting that we have similar rhythms. I feel like that's something we should investigate. For the listeners, Tara and I both have the same big 3, and our charts are really similar. So I guess before we get into the Akashic Records, I'm just curious from an astrological standpoint, what was your childhood like? What was like teenage Tara like? What is the story that got you into being a healer? And also, you mentioned that you were intuitive since you were a child. I was too. So I'm like very interested to hear how that manifested very young for you.
Well, one thing, like as you were even asking and saying that, rebellious for sure. I don't know too many Aquarians that aren't really having that rebellious nature.
Yeah. Fair.
Right? It's kind of a thing.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, no, growing up, I was very intuitive. And I found as time went on, it was almost too much. Mm-hmm. Like, things were happening that you can't necessarily explain. And it felt like too much. And then, like, the little light switch, shutting that off. It never really shuts off, but essentially shutting it off so you don't have to get bombarded with seeing things or feeling very intensely stuff that's definitely not yours.
Definitely.
Right? Well, and I think even some of the stuff that played into being rebellious was almost... So if you're feeling things, you're experiencing things, like I got into substance abuse and alcohol and things like that to work with it, to kind of numb things.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be overly perceptive. That being said, for me, at least, I couldn't do that my whole life. And when some of that started to go away, if you will, the dependencies, I opened up those doorways or the light switches and turned them back on, which was quite beautiful, to be quite honest.
That's amazing. I feel like, okay, when you have a Virgo rising, you have Pisces on the descendant. And so the descendant is, you can look at it two different ways. You can look at it either as, this is the energy we need to take in our personal partnerships, or it can also manifest as our shadow selves, especially when we're in relationships, one-on-one partnerships. And so I feel like the stereotype of the Pisces descendant is always, obviously very intuitive. Pisces is a very intuitive sign, but it does run with a lot of attracting people with substance abuse into your life. And it's also hard because you have Leo in your 12th house. His 12th house is the house of your undoing. And so when you have like your ego, your vitality kind of hidden from everything else, including yourself, that's really hard to deal with, especially if you're intuitive very young. So it's like you're handling all of these very powerful dynamics that most people, if they do have to deal with it, they at least experience it in their 20s, you know? So I feel like a lot of Virgo rising people have a lot of addiction issues very young, because it's like very hard to handle that amount of intensity very young. Does that make sense? Did I articulate that well?
It does. Oh my gosh, completely. Because, well, and I'm sure you can even relate to this, like, either, okay, so you're younger and you just know something, mm-hmm. but how do you know it? And then everybody else is like, no, blah, 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 like just making it seem like you don't know.
Absolutely.
Because they're in denial about things. And it's like, no.
Oh my goodness. I had an incident. No, this is totally true. It's manifested in so many ways. It's manifested in ways in which I knew things that had happened that nobody told me about, that it was never even hinted at. I didn't experience. I just knew it because I was so in tune with the people in my family that I just immediately knew how they operated, as if I, you know, was an ancestor coming in and had been watching them for 30 years before I was even born. So it's like this weird thing where I just kind of knew everyone's motivations. I knew everybody, what they were hiding. And it was so clear to me since I was young that there's these patterns of addiction in my family that I saw. Mm. And they weren't commonplace addiction issues. Some of them were, but some of them were like love addiction, or people just doing these like foolish things in the name of love. And just like, and like looking at that pattern at like 10 and seeing that. And realizing this is an addiction. And there were smaller things, like my father had a gambling addiction, which we don't really talk much about, but gambling addiction is very real. Mm-hmm. And I saw these things, and they acted like it was normal. And the big phrase that always came out was, oh, they're not addicts. It was the time. And so, like, a lot of times I felt like,
when I was very young, I personally, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I always related to the movie My Girl, because I just felt like I was very Veda. Like, I was just calling people their shit. But there was also, like, they treated me sort of like maybe I was too much, I was too intense. And so that was really hard. So, like, I guess that's how it manifested for me. Was it stuff within your family line that you saw, or was it just things in general? Like, were you entering school and getting messages and things like that?
Family for sure. However, a lot of it would be spiritual world coming through. And okay. It wasn't always, or not spiritual world, we'll say spirits. There we go. So different spirits and things would come through. And they're not always going to be like your nice grandma who's passed away or anything like that. Sometimes it's very terrifying. And if you don't understand, like, you're in bed and somebody's watching you, but you they're not actually
I get that,
and they're watching you.
Felt it could be a spirit watching me, and I have, like, an idea of, like, a, like, I would see one particular spirit. And it was funny because time went on, but he was still dressed the same. And it was very 1980s, like those glasses that are very oversized that were 1980s, like a mustache, like the person who was watching me very young. And I remember this because it was in the first room that I ever had in this house. And then I eventually moved to a different room. So it was very young, and I saw it, and like, I was in, they put me in therapy, like, thinking, you know, it was a mental disorder. And to this day, I've never really, I guess, explored what that could have been. But it was an overwhelming feeling that this person was always with me and watching me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was pretty, I felt scared because it was someone who was new and that I didn't know. But I didn't feel like they were going to hurt me. I just felt maybe like an invasion of my privacy, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and this is interesting too, because nothing against different forms of traditional medicine and psychiatry and things like that. They do serve a purpose. However, some things aren't logical, because you very well could have seen that spirit in your room and you weren't making it up. You could just see them. So of course they're going to come to you, because they're coming to you to be acknowledged, to be helped, whatever it is. And so it's challenging when people or our support systems don't necessarily, if they can't be open to other options.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's really, there's two parts to this that I think are really interesting. The first is, I have an older sister who is 19 years older than me, who grew up kind of being a parental figure for me because she was so much older. And because my parents passed away by the time I was 13, she was like an avid part of my life. And my sister has a birthday the day before my birthday, but we are 19 years apart. So we're both Aquarius to the same. it's really strange, right? But she has a Capricorn moon, which is very different from an Aquarius moon like you and I. So we are different versions of Aquarius people. And so, but my sister and I have things between us. Like, we're intuitive with each other. And the best way that I've heard it described is, you know, when twins have that twin thing,
yeah,
where they just know to call at the right time.
Yeah,
my sister and I always had that grow, and like, and it was very strange. Like, it was almost like, and a lot of it came through music. Like, we would hear a particular song on the radio, and she would call me, and at that exact moment, I was just about to call her, and I maybe hadn't even spoken to her in 2 months, and I just was having a mentally difficult day and needed to talk to my big sister, and she calls. And this would happen consistently our entire lives. And we've had spoken about it. So, like, we acknowledge it was a thing. we acknowledge that also my birth mom believed very strongly that she had ESP. Oh, wow. And yeah, and I know that my grandmother did have mental illness, but she also felt very close to spirit. She was a very religious woman. Mm. My family's pretty religious. And so, like, spirit has always just been a part of my life. And I remember going to synagogue because we're Jewish growing up. And, like, I felt no connection to Judaism. Mm. But I loved going to temple because I just felt a personal connection with spirit. And I didn't identify it to a particular God, but I always strongly felt like there was something guiding me, if that makes sense.
It does.
And this is very young. So it's like, it's interesting to hear someone else kind of speak about it the same way. Mm-hmm. So let me shift this a little bit. We both talked about this beforehand, but you left home at 15. I also left home at 15.
I know.
Which is so crazy. And during that time, you discovered tarot.
Yes.
From a family friend. And during that time, I also kind of discovered something that would change the course of my life. So I'm curious how we go from the age of 15 discovering tarot and, like, what your healing journey looked like. And how does that get to the Akashic Records, which is what you do now?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, too, because with tarot, very natural. And of course it would be if you have that intuitive nature, but I didn't necessarily, it is a system and I understood the cards, but I could read them without really having to have a lot of knowledge about them, but it would pertain to the person. So mm-hmm. It was just fascinating to work with.
That's how I thought about astrology.
Okay. Right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm nodding my head.
Well, and it's the same thing, like, and at the same time period for both of us, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, right? Absolutely, yeah. So crazy. But go on. I don't want to take away from your story.
And so I did work with tarot up until, I still work with it now, but not like I did before, because I have found other things that I connect with on a deeper level, like the Akashic Records. But I believe I was probably about 18 or 19, and I strayed away from walking that path, whatever it was. The one thing that did keep me away from tarot was I did do a reading for a classmate. I was in college. I took child and youth care.
Oh my goodness, I was a preschool teacher.
What?
I'm not even joking. I was a preschool teacher at a JCC from like probably around like 2007. Okay. Was in 2006, 2007. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to like track when I graduated. I can't remember. I think I was done working in that field. That, of course you did.
That's so crazy. Isn't astrology fascinating? It makes you feel, all right, I don't mean to upset anyone listening or you, Tara.
Oh.
But it kind of reminds you that we're just math. Mm. Like we think that we're these superior beings, but really we're just math.
Or it's like a program, but there's different variations of the program.
Yeah, that's another way to look at it. It also is a nice way to say we're all the same. Mm. I mean, there's no difference between when I go and I look at animals and I look at humans and I look at the ocean, we're all connected. Mm-hmm. And we all contain the same matter, so to speak. We just are on different journeys, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even like different, yeah, it's just different points of the journey, wherever we are.
Absolutely. Anyway, I didn't mean to take away. Continue. No. You.
Child and youth care. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I ended up doing a reading for a classmate. And unfortunately, so there were some not favorable things coming up in terms of actual people passing on. And then literally maybe like a week, 2 weeks later, they had a family member pass away.
Oh my goodness.
And so that was just, that was a lot. They were not happy, but obviously just from the situation. And then, so I did stay away from that for a while. Yeah. And I believe that's when I even entered more of party mode.
Do like you feel often it's the things that come up are negative more than positive, or does it really just depend?
It depends. It depends, because when I do readings now, well, and they're different too. I'm in a different mental capacity and different mm-hmm. space of doing them. Whatever needs to come through is going to come through. That's the way I look at it, whether it can be favorable or not. It's coming through for a reason. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so sub question. Mm-hmm. And do you feel like the point that this was happening was like a low point or a negative point for you in your life, or was it more of a positive point when you did this reading?
I feel like I was in, I wouldn't say it was a low point. There was a lot of changes going on for me personally. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, now I'm getting flashes. Okay, it was a little bit of a spin. Oh my goodness, yes. The Let's reason say a I low was... point. I was like, no, it wasn't. But now I'm like, wait, no, there was a lot of crazy chaos going yeah. on. So yes, thank you.
The low reason point. I'm curious is because... The reason I'm curious is this is just so fascinating to me. I've never had someone, and this is what happens when you meet your astro twin, I guess. Mm. And I always suspected if I met my astro twin that certain things would come up, and I guess I'm right. But I realized at a very early age, kind of like the negative side of the law of attraction, where it's like, I had to be very careful of what I said out into the universe.
Oh my gosh. Sorry.
Because I was a young, angry kid, and I would say these mean things about people just because I was angry. I didn't really mean them. Mm. And then they would happen. And then I would be like, oh my God, I caused that. Like and it was really scary. And like, and for a while I had a lot of trauma. And so that I wasn't really dealing with. And so also it was like a manifestation of the bad place that I was in. And I had a friend say to me, who also is very woo-woo. And they said to me one time when we were kind of arguing, you know, do you ever say anything good and it happens? Mm-hmm. And I just like had been trying that for so long and it didn't work. Like, mm-hmm. And I realized the big part of the law of attraction is you actually have to believe it. Mm-hmm. And so when you're not dealing with your trauma and you are just wishing good things to change without doing the work, mm-hmm. nothing's really going to change. You're just going to be keep holding on to it. So doing the work is like a crucial part of changing that energy. And now I've become like a healer and I've left all that negativity in the past and I deal with my trauma. And now when I speak words, they're words of gratitude, and I do see that manifest. And so I'm very aware that I have this part of me, and we all have dark and light within us.
Of course.
But, like, I'm aware that my darkness is not to be fucked with. And so I kind of have it with a key now, mm-hmm. and I don't pull it out at all. And what I do instead is I manifest it into like protection magic. And I just wish everybody well who I dislike or who I have a falling out with, because that's what you should do with it. Like it was a hard lesson to learn, and it's hard to even admit that, because that's like saying I did a bad thing and nobody wants to admit that.
Of course.
So I'm just curious if you've had experiences like that, because.
Honey, as soon as you started saying something, I'm like, oh my God.
Isn't this wild? I love it.
I love it. No, exact same thing. Like it actually got to a point. I think that, well, so when I was younger, where I kind of realized that, oh my gosh, like we can use the word magic, like magic is real, our words have power, is because I did, when I was working and discovering what's out there in terms of spirituality, I did work with different forms of intention or practices or magic, if you want to call it that. And things happened, and they weren't always nice things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of shocking when it happens. Mm-hmm. And even when my intuition, when I was starting to allow it back in, sometimes I would think things and instantly they would happen. But sometimes it wasn't me being negative, trying to think about something. It would be in my head. And then I'd try to cancel, clear, delete what was going on in my head because I didn't want it to really happen.
I love that you also said cancel clear, by the way. I also have to say that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like, please stop. No, no. Let's replace it with something else. I don't even want to have it in my mind because it's going to happen. And that's reality.
It is. It really is. This is like an ungaslighting right now. Yes. Like, I feel like I'm having an ungaslighting on the phone with you. This is so wild. Like, I mean, and it's not surprising to me because I've been doing magic for so long, mm-hmm. and I just knew that, like, if I met my astro twin, this would happen. Okay, so here's what's interesting.
Yes.
So, so just for the listeners, we are both Aquarius Sun, Aquarius Moon, and then Virgo Rising, which is wild to think about, but I do think that those energies are much more similar than we give credit for, and they work very well together. But if you look and see which celebrities have the same big three as us, it's so unfortunate, but it's Sarah Palin. And I don't know your feelings on Sarah Palin, but mine are not great. However, she does care quite a bit about special needs people, which I do as well. So I will focus on that. But I was reading her Wikipedia one day just to like be like, what do I have in common with this person?
Is and that I said, oh my gosh, there's got to be more. Sorry.
I mean, there were a few things. Like we just go about it two different ways is really what it is. Like, she has all of these literacy things. Unfortunately, her literacy things are about banning books, whereas I'm very rebellious and I want those books. So I guess there are some similarities depending on how you look at it. But the big thing that like came up for me and I wanted to ask you was, I noticed she got married on August 29th to her husband, and that was my mother's birthday. And I thought that that was really interesting because it was also the day that was supposed to be my wedding and the day that I got engaged.
What?
So, like, that was a big day for me, and that ended up being her wedding anniversary. So I was curious if August 29th has any sort of significance for you, and if it doesn't, and one day it does, I would love to hear about it.
Yeah. In this moment, in this time, August 29th, no.
Okay.
A lot of changes generally happen for me around August. Like, in August, though, it seems like the 25th and onward. But I will for sure keep you in the loop when I'm meeting Sarah Palin on August 29th, whatever that is.
Okay. So let's – I love this. This is so – this is amazing. Anyway, so you learned the lesson of like being careful what you say, and then you're doing tarot. How did the Akashic records come into play? And then I'd like to focus on that for a few minutes, if that's okay.
For sure. So the Akashic records, they had been popping up on my radar. So I first got connected with them in 2014. And they had been popping up on my radar probably for a couple years before that. Like, I heard the word. I was a little curious about it. Knew that there were readings, but I didn't. Like, you know when you know. You just know when you find the person that you want a reading with or that you want to learn from when you find them. So I hadn't found that. And then I ended up getting connected with someone very randomly. Oh my God, so randomly. But we were like soul family. And he had a reading from this woman I don't even know how he found her, but he had a reading with this woman from California. He told me about it. I'm like, that's the person. I want a reading. And then I had a reading with her, and it literally, like, blew my mind and just, it changed my life. I can't even, that reading changed my life, because when you're connecting with your Akashic records, you're connecting to your soul and your soul's story. So you're able to access anything that your soul has experienced. So she just, it was amazing because she gave me a better understanding of a lot of the baggage that I was still carrying that I wasn't aware of, because it wasn't me carrying it. It was stuff from past lives. Hmm. So I was able to work with that. And then after, I think, like, I had a reading, it was with her in February, and she was host, and she's from the States, like California. And she,
where
was
in California? Host- do you know?
San Francisco now.
Her That's name so is interesting.
Amor Luz.
Okay. Her name is what?
Amor Luz.
Amor Luz. Okay. Yeah. I lived briefly in the Bay Area, so I was just curious if it was someone I came across before, because that would have been funny, but I don't think that I did. But go on.
Now, yet. We'll say that.
Yet. Yeah. But now I want to get a reading.
She was amazing. Yeah. And so she was facilitating a yoga Akashic Records workshop with this other woman, and it happened to be in Canada, not in Toronto, because that's where I lived at the time, but in Golden, BC, and I just knew I had to go. And I think the retreat was a couple months later, and I didn't care. I just made it work, and I went. And that is really what opened up everything for me to even be working with the records and wanting to share it with people. Like, it was mind-blowing. That's the only words I can use, mind-blowing, just to see the connections that people have as souls, the people that were at the retreat, how there were connections.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for anyone who is listening, and can you explain a little bit further what the Akashic Records are, not only in their general meaning, but what they've sort of meant for you personally too?
So with the Akashic Records, I did mention your soul's library. So if we want to picture, like, either even like the Book of Life, so everything that your soul's been through, or if you're going into a library, not a literal one, but in a figurative sense, so you're going in a library and it's all about you. So it's beyond who you are right now. It's who you've been, who you are, who you're going to be, all these different potentialities. And for me, the main thing that was really life-changing, I'll say, I can't say anything other than mind-blowing and life-changing about them, is because you get a better understanding of, okay, so why is this happening for me now in this life? Because you could have patterns, you could have soul trauma or wounds that you don't even know are there, but they're keeping you from having deep relationships, not even love and intimate, but from friends, being open. They can have you not being able to speak and stand in your truth and use your voice. There's fears of water, different phobias. They can all be connected to different soul experiences. And if you don't know that it's there, you can't work with it. And so I love working with the Akashic Records, because you can help lighten the load. You can clear stuff that's not helping you. And in another sense, if you want to bring in your soul's power and different gifts that you have, you can work with the records for that. So even like this one's coming through for public speaking. Maybe you're nervous about public speaking, but maybe there's other files connected to your soul where that was your main thing. So you can just bring in that energy, connect with that energy, invoke that energy in a sense.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I recently posted something on Instagram, but in astrology, Mercury is how you communicate and how you see the world. And the north node of the moon shows you your soul's purpose. But by that, the South Node shows you where you've been in past lives. And so I have Mercury conjunct, meaning touching, mm-hmm. my South Node. And so these are generally people who remember their past lives pretty vividly. mm. And I've always, okay, so I have to be honest, a lot of what comes through to me in my dreams. I have very vivid dreams. I have when I see things in dreams, often they happen in the reality, especially if it's a repeating dream.
Okay.
And so I definitely feel like I remember parts of my past life. I remembered them even when I was young. And I guess the thing that's confusing to me about that sometimes is, do I remember certain things because I was just like a normal person in the world and I experienced these things or read these books in my past life? Or was I the person that like wrote the book and that's why I know it so well and I relate to it so much? It's like, so that's like always interesting to think about. And I like try not to be vain. So I just feel like, oh, well, I just probably just connected to this book in my past life. I'm not clearly this amazing writer or whoever. But
you could be.
But I could be. I could be, especially with Mercury. But I have a lot of asteroids also conjunct my South Node. I have Lilith there. Oh. So that makes me think that my past life maybe, I mean, Lilith is I mean, I love working with Lilith magic. Mm-hmm. But it also means like, I don't know, maybe I was someone who was had some sexual issues in a past life, or like, but also I have Ceres there, which is how we nurture. So I kind of wonder if I was like a sex worker in a past life, or because I do have issues of sexual dysfunction that come up to me in this life that I feel very strongly that I need to conquer. And those are also things I'm learning about because I want to teach other people who've had sexual trauma how to get back into their bodies. So I always wonder if that's like related to my past life in some way. There's just so many questions I have. It's so interesting to think about like past lives. Do you feel like you have a very strong idea of what your past lives multiple were?
I do. And the reason I do is because I've been, because when I do Akashic Record sessions, I do them for myself and it's pretty much like a journaling experience. So I'm asking for information and either they're sharing it with me like a conversation, or I'm seeing movies, like a movie screen sort of thing. And I just journal it. I journal everything that I experience, but I've seen a lot of them. And it's kind of interesting because they're not always glamorous. Some of them can be tragic. Some of them are just like you're living a straight up quote unquote normal life. So it's, it's interesting. However, the ones that seem to come through usually, and even with working with clients, the ones that come through more prominently are if there's trauma associated to that life. And the reason they're coming through is to acknowledge the trauma, to work with it so that it can be released.
Yeah.
So from my experience, those are the main ones that come through. But it's quite fascinating. And I find lately so many people have been coming through that have, we'll use the word witches, that history of being witches or healers or whatever the words we want to use. And it's quite fascinating because I work out of my home, but I'll also do guest spots at different shops. And I did one maybe about 2 weeks ago, and I had 9 clients, and 6 out of the 9 clients all had like wounded healer trauma.
Same. And you're talking to one right now. Oh. My Chiron is conjunct my midheaven.
Oh.
Chiron is the wounded healer. The midheaven is your reputation. So there you go.
Oh.
Me and Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, I know. I used to be obsessed with Marilyn Monroe. I had her everywhere.
I have her everywhere too. I'm looking at a picture of her on my wall. People make fun of me for having her on my wall, but like, she was such, I always connected with her. She's such a badass. Like the story of her, you know, with Ella Fitzgerald and what she did for her career is just so badass. She just did what she wanted to do, and she made the way, and she paved the way for women to actually get paid equal to men. Like, she just, I don't know, I just, I've always connected with her. We had some, I mean, we both have similar childhoods. Again, not to get too deep into the astrology, but with, I have a Taurus midheaven like her, so that means I have a Scorpio IC. She came from a background where her parents were just like not a part of her life. She was a foster care kid. I too, at certain points of my life, was in the system as well. And my mom was mentally ill. Her mother was mentally ill.
Oh, wow. Like,
so there's a lot of stuff that is similar between the two of us. But I always thought she was such a badass since I was young. And I don't care if it's cliche to love her. She is a hero.
Yes. Girl, I'm on board with that. Isn't that funny, though? Because people, like, it's almost, like, I feel like you and I, and there are other people, too, like, actually looking beyond the what is that? Marilyn Monroe, the brand, the image, like, looking beyond that and actually looking at the person.
Yeah. She was a person who fought against racism. Mm-hmm. She was a person that fought against people slut shaming, essentially, like when her pictures were exposed, and by the way, like still all over the internet, and she never received any of that money. She said, what, she get paid $40 for that?
Right?
Like, which is crazy. And they're the most iconic nude photos of all time. She had no shame about doing that. And I feel like that's such a powerful thing to have done in the 50s to say, yes, I did take these pictures. They are me. I was poor. I needed money, and I don't give a fuck. So, like,
look at me now.
Exactly. Like, seriously, that was so brave. Like she could have been totally condemned, and instead she embraced her sexuality. I find that remarkable. I also, I just think she had. I think the saddest part is that she wanted to be taken seriously. She wanted to be taken seriously as a real actress. She did the work. She cared so much about it, and men still belittled her. And I feel like that is something that I have to work on in this life. I've been in multiple relationships where, you know, I was told to act a certain way by the person I was dating, that it wasn't appropriate. and you know, I now at 36 years old am finally a person where it's like, this is who I am. I'm proud of who I am. I've embraced my sexuality. I've embraced my womanhood. I've embraced my masculine. Like, I am all of these things, and I am not a perfect person. None of us are. I'm flawed. And when I mess up, I'm going to have accountability for that. And I'm going to work on myself so that that doesn't happen again. And so, you know, that I feel sad. She died at 36. I'm here. I am 36.
Wow.
And I finally got there. So I feel like if our souls were connected in a past life, if they're connected in this life, because we have so many similar placements, I've done the work for her. And that's like a big deal for me, as cheesy as that sounds, because I feel like a lot of my mission in this particular life, I've had a lot of loss. And I've had a lot of women that really inspired me that passed away very young. My mother, one of my best friends. And what happened there. But
well, they're. I feel like they were coming in.
maybe that's
you. You were giving them acknowledgement.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm doing the work that they're not here to do in this spiritual plane. Every time I work with a client, I thank them, and I have gratitude, and so that's quite amazing. And I wonder, like you said, like, do you feel that way? Do you feel like you're living out something in this life for other people, or do you think your journey is more personal?
I feel like my main, like, if we were to have a soul purpose or soul mission, it's to show people who they are, but not who they are as people, who they are as souls.
Yeah.
And awakening them to that. Because and it's very interesting because I have a very colorful past where when even sometimes I'll share things with people that meet me now, mm-hmm. they're like, what? Like they're blown away because they wouldn't even, like, knowing me and seeing who I am now,
yeah.
they would never in a million years, like, they just can't even wrap their heads around it.
Same.
But at the same time, right? Yeah.
We live many lives in one life, let's just say.
Yes.
If Aquarius is about forward movement, we've been doing so since we were children, it's fair to say.
Very much so. It helps, though, when we're connecting with people and when we're connecting with clients, because we have that relatability.
Mm-hmm.
We know where they're coming from. And even if we don't know where they're coming from personally, we have a better scope of it or understanding.
I can feel it. I can feel other people's feelings in my body. Like, it comes through either in my throat a lot or in my stomach more often, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I think even if someone's experience is quite different than mine, I can hold that place for them in my body, mm-hmm. which is kind of hard to do, honestly.
It can be. Yeah.
It's hard to separate. Okay, so this is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I have two questions. One, let me start with the Akashic Records question, and then I want to ask you a general, like, empath type question.
Okay.
So with the Akashic Records being a literal library of resources of our past lives and all that,
mm-hmm.
can they be edited? If they can, what are some of the scenarios in which you think edits your Akashic Records?
So, yes. In a sense of, because sometimes there's that misconception of, oh, I've made these soul contracts and I have this vow or this oath and I've signed up for this. Okay, yeah, sure. Right on. You signed up for it. Souls, we just want to do all these things, but maybe when in this time it's not working for you, you felt mm-hmm. like it was going to be on that soul level, you can rewrite that. You don't have to stay committed to specific contracts. Even when we're going into the records and we're healing past pain or trauma, that's essentially almost rewriting what happened there. It's not getting rid of it, but it's changing the energy. It's changing mm-hmm. the energy for you and your soul in this moment, as well as that aspect of you and your soul in the other moment, and even one other souls that are connected to you. So it's not rewriting situations, but it is changing the energy. But yes, you can rewrite contracts and things of that nature.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've always thought it was sort of like a choose your own adventure book.
Exactly.
Where things are sort of written, but you don't necessarily have to. It's not necessarily linear unless you want it to be linear, and you can, your actions can. Okay. So I believe no matter what your actions are, big or small, even if it's just giving someone a hug, mm-hmm. that has impact. And so every literal thing that we do, and this is like, if someone has anxiety, I don't want them to think about this, but yeah. I think about this in like a kind way.
Of course.
Where it's like your actions, no matter how big or small, there's no, like, the way that time doesn't really exist mm-hmm. in the Akashic Records, I don't really think impact, like the size of impact really exists
mm-hmm.
because I think everything that you do has a reaction, and it's like a little butterfly effect. Like, you might think something is really small. And a lot of times, I think it is the small stuff that really changes stuff.
Mm.
Because you think back and you're like, oh, this teacher did this like one small thing. It wasn't a big deal. And that teacher might not ever remember that. But it'll have like such a huge impact on someone's life. And the teacher's probably just doing their thing, not even thinking about it. And then they do create these things that they think will have huge impact on their students, and it does nothing. Nothing right? at all. So it's just like, I don't think that the size of impact really matters. And this is something I try to tell my clients a lot, because sometimes I get clients that are like, I need to do something really big with my life and for humanity, because humanity sucks right now. And I'm like, it's the little things. It's calling your mom when she's having a really bad day and putting your bullshit aside to just listen to your mom talk. And, you know, and she'll remember that. Like, you don't know what it is. It could be holding the door open and smiling at someone can change their entire day. They could have just gotten into a fight with their wife. They could have taken that spirit to the office. But you smiled at them. And so by nature, when they walk into the office, they're probably going to smile at the administrator. And the administrator could have had a bad morning. And then that changes their day. So it's just like, just be aware that impact has no size, if that makes sense.
It does. And it's interesting that you're even, like, the examples you're using. Because when we're in the Akashic Records, we have our record keepers, so lords, masters, teachers, but then we'll have loved ones or beings of light. And it's legit exactly what you just said. It doesn't have to be somebody that you knew in this life that was really close to you. It could have literally been that person you smiled at that changed their life, and then they want to go help you on the other side in your record.
That's so sweet. Oh, I love thinking about that. That is so sweet. I feel like I've had so many karmic connections with people, and like, I can feel that quite deeply. And sometimes the other person doesn't understand it at all, and they're like, why is this person so obsessed with me? Like, go away. And I'm just like, you don't know. Like, I know everything that's going to happen in your life, and I can just see it. And then I do see it, and I'm like, whoa. And it's crazy, because I do think that everything that happens to you happens so something else can happen. And so I very strongly think that, like, we should be more open to that because I think you benefit more from it psychologically when you open your, even if it's just like, okay, we've talked about this in the past, but opening your mind to the idea of non-linear time and places where, you know, like, just getting out of this mind frame that this is the only dimension that there is. Well, so to speak.
Even what you mentioned in the very beginning about that separation and how we're not, we're all one, like, that, switching that mindset can help transfer us into a different dimensional plane too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like we went pretty deep today. Tara, I love talking to you. You're amazing.
Likewise.
I feel like I could talk your ear off forever, but I feel like we're cutting close on time, so we're gonna have to have you back.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you, do you have anything that you currently are promoting? I know you're doing a workshop in Toronto. Did you want to talk about that?
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to be in Toronto and Montreal. So, and it's interesting. So the idea behind the workshop has changed, of course. And so,
can I ask where it is? Cause I'm also doing a workshop, and I'm just curious if we're working on the same time frame. Cause that would, like, blow my mind. Mine's in April.
mine was intended for April. I'm not even lying, but it's now, so I'll be in Montreal May 15th to 17th and Toronto May 22nd to 24th. But I wanted April very badly, but it had to shift. It had to move.
Okay. Notes to self, plans may change with the people I'm collaborating with, or this is hard for me. I'm a scheduler.
Oh, me too. Oh, my God.
I'm going to take it as a blessing if that's the case.
Yeah.
Continue.
Because I wanted it to be April, and then things were just shifting. Well, okay. So real talk. things shifted. I found out there was a Bikini Kill concert in Montreal on May 18th. And so that is what moved everything to May.
Okay, I have to tell you something. This is going to blow your freaking mind.
No, it won't.
It's blowing my mind. My friend Reagan, who is my business partner, who does the art for my page. Hi, Reagan, if you're listening.
Hi.
At Sweet Baby Rage. Everyone at her. She's amazing. And I were supposed to go. We had tickets. We had tickets to the original show. Like, that sold out in 2 seconds. But we got the tickets.
What?
And we were supposed to go to the New York show together. But then Reagan couldn't go because her daughter was graduating high school and the date got announced. So obviously she can't miss that.
Yes.
And then my sister's mom passed away and she asked me to come out and visit her and spend some time with her and like family first, of course. And so I could have gone out without Reagan and taken the tickets. But A, that didn't seem like something I wanted to do, and B, your sister needs you more in a time of crisis. Bikini Kill can chill. And so I didn't get to see Bikini Kill. And so I'm so jealous that you get to see Bikini Kill. And I think it's really interesting that we both love Bikini Kill.
Is it though? I'm not gonna. I'm just, like, in my mind, everything now with you is, of course.
So funny. Also, for the listeners, what sign is your partner?
Oh, he's Sagittarius.
Okay, guys. Yeah. No, it's official. Everyone writes me and says that I only have Sagittarius on the podcast. And I said, they just flocked me.
Well, yeah, connected to Sagittarius.
Yes.
Love him.
Oh, that's so sweet. I've mostly only dated Leos, but still fire signs. Mm. But Sagittarius have always been like best friend material, like
tons
of it. Maybe one day. Now that maybe. I mean, I do like a Sag.
Right.
They're sassy. They keep me optimistic. They get me out of the house.
Well, and I'm even thinking like just the way they are with needing to know things, but like factually, that could be fun for you.
Yeah.
Bouncing ideas off of each other.
I need a fire sign to get things done because I'm very heady.
Mm. Oh, yes. I get it.
Tara, tell me more about your workshop.
Okay.
This is what happens when two Aquariuses talk.
5 hours later.
Yes.
So the workshop is changed in a sense. Well, nobody even really knows what it was before, but it's an Akashic Record workshop. But it's going to be focused on soul wisdom for transformation and empowerment and getting out of the wounded healer archetype.
Wow.
Right?
Okay. I'm sold.
Yeah. Because, and so it's going to be a lot, like, it's going to be geared towards people on their own journeys. So to really get in there and clear out things so that they can, and you don't have to be a professional healer, like we're all healers in our own way, but so that you can be out there, you can be a better human being in general. Right, as a goal of evolution, how can I be better every day? But to be able to work with people, to be able to assist yourself, but from a healthy, grounded space.
Totally.
So that's and it literally probably a couple days ago, it was like lightning rod. Whoa, this.
That's how ideas come to me.
Right.
It's interesting even so, because the big question that I've been asking a lot of people lately, and it is kind of similar to that, which is when you experience trauma so young and it's so life-changing and it's so rooted in the work that I do. Like, I can't talk about being a healer without talking about the fact my friend Melissa was a healer first. Mm. I felt silly even using the word healer for myself because that was her word. And so it's hard for me sometimes to figure out who I am without the trauma. I survived the trauma. I'm not depressed about the trauma anymore. It is uplifting to me that I had this trauma and I was able to turn it around. But sometimes I don't really know how to talk about myself without talking about that experience because it's so part of who I am. Mm. And so that would be a really interesting workshop to attend and learn more about. So I love that you're doing this. Mm-hmm. Well, it's very kindred.
Well, of course. Well, and I find because the, and I just know from personal experiences, I have friends that are in many different forms of healing. So like even different, so different forms, we'll call it healing, where I did different training, but part of my program, we had to take counseling. Like you had mm-hmm. to do a specific amount of hours of counseling, and that was a prerequisite for even getting your diploma. And at the time I was like, no, this is, I think this is kind of silly. I don't want to have to do this. Why do we have to do this? But then I was so grateful for it. And so there's other people out there that are on this path of healing, but maybe there's still stuff that could be worked with, that can be looked at, that can be, have the opportunity to be released or even acknowledged for what it is. And mm-hmm. so we have the ability to do that. And working with the Akashic Records almost amplifies everything.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have you back because I'm sure our listeners are going to have like 1,000 questions about the Akashic Records. Yeah. And we just have such a great free flow of conversation, I must say. I adore talking to you. Like my spirit feels uplifted right now. Yeah. Like I'm going to go and live my day, but I'm going to feel really good because what you did had impact today.
Oh, likewise, girl.
Okay, so if someone wants to sign up for your workshop, how can they do that and where can they follow you?
Okay, so I am on Facebook and Instagram and it's at Heart to Heart Journey. So H-E-A-R-T Journey. And my website is www.hearttoheartjourney.com. So that's where they can find me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Come back soon.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm sending you hugs.
Have a great rest of your day. You too, stay love. Warm. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. I have a confession. I'm kind of obsessed with vintage lingerie, and I have been pretty much my whole life. Which sounds kind of weird to say, but I also grew up obsessed with Courtney Love, and her style was so informative to my own personal style since I was a child. I love slips, I love teddies, I love taking the pinup girl style and making it my own. And when I'm looking for good vintage lingerie, Bride of the Fox has my back. They are a store located in Roanoke, Virginia, but they have an online presence, so you can shop online too. And you can find them on Instagram at Bride of the Fox. They have great items all the way from 1915 to the 1990s. Right now I'm kind of obsessed with this teddy that they have. It's like kind of beige and beautiful and silk, but what I really love is that it has a 40-inch bust, and it's so hard to find lingerie that's like good for someone who's kind of top heavy like me. So if you're also into vintage lingerie, you should go right now at Bride of the Fox on Instagram, and you can check out their Etsy store. Some of their stuff is also on Instagram. And if you do live in Virginia, go to their in-person store. They even have private appointments.
And now time for 5-minute diagnosis.
Hi, I'm Knives, also known on Instagram as the Brooklyn Bruja. Don't forget to follow. Today I'm here to talk about mental health, and specifically borderline personality disorder, also known as BPD. So BPD is marked by unstable moods, turbulent relationships, impulsivity in more than two areas, dissociative episodes, self-harming, self-injurious behaviors, and suicidal gestures. One of the things that I find personally very difficult is BPD relationships, which is what I'm more specifically going to be focusing on in this recording. So throughout my life, all my relationships have been very turbulent. They end awful and more times than not violently. And throughout my experiences, I've developed some healthy coping mechanisms and skills to help me build and maintain healthy relationships in my life. And some of the things that I've learned that I'm going to be sharing is, one, compatibility. I feel that is so important when you are trying to find a relationship in general, but more specifically with BPD. You know, not everyone, you know, is equipped to deal with those things. You're not everyone's cup of tea, and that is okay. Some people just can't do it in that moment, or just can't ever do it, and don't have the skills or the patience to be with somebody who has BPD, and vice versa. I feel that some people are just not right for us, in the sense of they don't contribute to your growth. And I just feel like that's just in general, regardless if you're having BPD or not, you have to really think about compatibility and what works with you and your needs, and vice versa. Secondly, I'd say that what's important is forgiveness. And forgiveness is super important as well in general in all relationships. I feel like all the things I'm going to list are awesome to have in any relationship, but definitely need to be there for BPD relationships. And so for forgiveness, on the BPD side, often we tend to hold in a lot of grudges. And that's never really good in general, to hold in all that negative energy. But it's even harder for us to move forward if we're consistently thinking about those things. I don't know about other people with BPD, but normally when someone hurts me, that's all I can think about until it's resolved or I cut them off. And you can't live your life cutting everybody off. And if you want to build long-standing relationships that are healthy, you're going to need to forgive them and move past it. And the same goes with people who are with somebody or are friends with family, with somebody who has BPD. You need to learn how to forgive. Oftentimes, I can't even count how many times I've had emotional outbursts and episodes that I have no recollection of. As I stated earlier, one of the things that happens with BPD is dissociation. And dissociation can cause memory loss, not even just in the moment, but in long-term. Memory can cause memory loss, and it sucks. And it fills us with a lot of guilt, because oftentimes we do things and say things that we don't mean. I have broken a good amount of property and have said some really heinous things about people, having, again, no recollection that I even said it. And a lot of the times in the past, those people weren't able to forgive me, and those friendships ended, and those relationships ended. And I feel that if you're somebody who has somebody that they love who has BPD, it's really important to forgive them and to understand that this is something that they can't always control or even remember is happening. And regardless of this forgiveness, you still have to remember that this does not excuse abusive behavior on both parties. The person without BPD should not be manipulative, abusive, or stigmatizing. And same way around. The person with BPD should be working on themselves and should be wanting to better themselves and ensuring that they continue to put in the work so that they don't have these behaviors repeat and repeat. for the rest of their lives or for however long. And lastly, I'd say that communication is essential. Communication in general is essential, but the type of communication that I feel needs to happen with BPD relationships is it has to be very intentional. I like to write what I'm going to say before I say it, because oftentimes the first time around, I don't have anything nice to say, especially if I'm communicating about how I feel or how someone made me feel. If they hurt me in the moment, especially, I will have nothing nice to say. And vice versa, I feel that people who don't have BPD may not understand how fragile our emotions can be. And the best way that I like to put it is, talk to us how you would a child. If a child does something you don't approve of, there is no sense in yelling at them, telling them that they're useless, or telling them they're dumb, or that you hate them, or that you're just going to ignore them for the rest of the day. Those things would make a child cry and would hurt their feelings and would not be productive. They won't listen. They'll just be too busy, upset. And it's the same thing with someone with BPD. You have to be very intentional and speak the way that not only you'd like to be spoken to, but how your child's self would have wanted to be spoken to. I just feel like sometimes people with BPD are just their inner child at heart when they get emotional. So it's very important to remember that and try to speak them with a lot of love and nurture. So communication, forgiveness, and compatibility, I believe, are very important to maintaining not just romantic, platonic, but familiar and casual relationships with people. And again, thank you. Follow me at the Brooklyn Bruja on Instagram. I post tons of mental health content relating to BPD, anxiety, PTSD, religious trauma, etc. And remember, if you have a mental illness, you are worthy of so much love. You are worthy of all of the happiness, all of the healing, and all of the love that exists in this world. You just have to put that work out there, and you have to put your heart out there as well.
Karma is misunderstood often as some sort of form of God who deals out punishment for misdeeds in life. This is completely untrue. Karma is not personal. It's more like a state of nature and magnetism. Like attracts like. But like the butterfly effect, karma works on a huge scale. So for this reason, giving all your money away will not necessarily result in you receiving money, especially if it depends on the energy behind the gift. So if the money was offered for like a selfish reason and you want to receive, then the karmic energy being sent out is actually selfishness, and so you'll get selfishness back. So it's good to measure your intentions always. I feel like it's really important for you guys to know the 12 laws of karma. And they can really guide you to achieve the life that you desire. So I'm going to share that with you. Number one is the law of cause and effect. And this is probably the most well-known law of karma. In essence, it says whatever we put out into the universe comes back to us. So if we want joy, peace, love, then we need to give out peace, joy, and love, right? So number two is the law of creation. Life requires our active participation. So in order to get the life that we want, we need to actively try to create it rather than just waiting for it to happen. Begin to take actions in small ways and you can achieve the life that you want. And like that can just become super magnified once you keep doing it and make it a habit. Number three is the law of humility. So in order to grow, we must accept what is rather than arguing what shouldn't be. So when we judge others, we hide ourselves. So to reach a higher state, we need to stop judging others and accept life while still taking action to make the world a better place. This is really hard. People write to me a lot about this, and I'm gonna be honest, it's hard for me to not judge things, but the minute I kind of started pretending I was like an alien from another planet and I was just here to like learn how people worked and operated rather than to assign a judgment to it, and I made that part of my daily practice, I feel like I gave up control, and that was just so powerful within itself, and my whole world changed. So my go-to advice generally is pretend that you are an alien and just start entering situations with like no vantage point, right? And just try to understand the way people work. And a good way to really get your head into thinking that way is maybe studying astrology, tarot, some form of divination where you can understand the human personality. Study numerology, study anything where you're kind of understanding how people operate, psychology, any of it. And then it's really hard to attach a judgment to it. So number four is the law of growth. And in order to get to number four, you really need to practice number three actively. The law of growth is the only way to change the world is to change ourselves. So we should not attempt to try to control the behavior of other people at all, because we can only change ourselves, right? So in order to really do number four, you need to work on number three, because you're giving up that control, you know? Number five is the law of responsibility. We must accept responsibility for our actions. When something is wrong, we must look at ourselves rather than to blame others, because what surrounds us is just a mirror of ourselves. We are projections. So we change the outside world. In order to change the outside world, we must accept responsibility for what we have created and change ourselves in a better order to see that change reflected upon the world around us. Number six is the law of connection. And this is one that I've struggled with, and I'm finally in a wonderful place with, where I feel very connected. Every action that we take, everything that we contribute, contributes to a whole picture. Therefore, actions are neither big nor small, because all actions influence the world as a whole. Let that one sink in for a little bit. That's heavy. Number seven is the law of focus. You cannot think two things at the same time. When our focus is on higher values, it is impossible for us to have lower thoughts, such as greed or anger. Number eight is the law of giving. You must live by the values that you hold dear. It is not enough to talk about patience, love, and harmony while acting from impatience, hatred, or fear. Number nine is the law of here and now. If we live in the past, or we're living in the future, we're just only thinking about the future, we're unable to take action in the present moment. This is just practicing mindfulness and living in the now. Number 10 is the law of change. This is a big one. History repeats itself until we learn the lessons that we need to change in our past and life. So this goes into really dealing with your generational trauma, taking a good look in the mirror, and healing yourself. In order to move forward, we must accept the past and learn its lessons. Only then can we move forward. This is a big one for a lot of us. Number 11 is the law of patience and reward. We must consistently take action towards creating the life that we want and the world that we hoped for. Rewards may not come instantly, but we must not give up. In the end, doing the work that is meaningful to us and that we love should be its own reward. And finally, number 12, the law of significance and inspiration. You can get this from anything that you put your work into. The true value of something is the direct result of the energy and intent that is put into it. So, if we follow these laws of karma, we can be assured that our contribution to the world will be a positive one. And we want that, right? We will also reap the rewards of peace and love and happiness in our own lives. Isn't that great?
And now, Burn Black presents the Burn Black Book Club. Say that five times fast.
So this week, I wanted to do something a little bit different. This isn't a book. This is, you guessed it, a zine. This week, I'm reviewing Constant Chaos, which is the new zine from my dear friend, Lauren Francis. This is a zine about living in dysfunctional families. And it's really raw, it's really honest, and it's pretty intense and triggering at times, but
It's one of the best things I've read in a really long time, and if you've gone through a situation with a tumultuous family life, it's definitely worth a read to feel more connected. There's a beautiful letter in the first few pages of the zine that Lauren wrote her recently departed mom. It's touching, and it's honest, and it's real, and it's authentic, and it's all of the things that you would imagine someone would write their mom, who they had a pretty complicated relationship with, who just passed away. Because love can be complicated, especially in a dysfunctional family. You can still love and hurt at the same time. These two things can coexist. And I get that all throughout this scene, and all the stories that are shared. There's poetry. There's an article written by Destiny Larice, who's been on this podcast, called Black Sheep. I was interviewed about an experience that I've never spoken about publicly, and that was extremely intense and part of my childhood and who I've grown up to be. So let me just say it's a very intense read, but it's beautifully laid out. It's only $5. I love that Lauren has made her zines accessible for anyone to afford. I really think it's worth picking up. And if you've gone through a lot of tumultuous family situations, you felt dysfunctional, you felt alone, like no one understands, which is something at times I feel, Constant Chaos is a must read. So if you're interested in purchasing Constant Chaos from Lauren Francis, you can direct message her on Instagram for the link. It might be actually in her bio, and her Instagram is at honkytonkbadonk. Because fabulous things come from silly Instagram names, of course.
Now for the self-care tip of the week.
So I was asked by B to record a self-care tip, which is what I'm doing. My friend Michelle is here. They are amazing.
Hi.
We just ate a bagel. We were just discussing something that I had not observed of myself, but it is good to know that I give this off as a person, which is when I know your limits socially. If you need to take care of yourself, there's no shame in asking for a night off and actually advocating for it and saying, like, okay, I'm not going to go out tonight. I feel like shit. And being honest with your close friends about it. If I'm feeling like garbage, I will always stay in 100% because my self-care and mental health is more important than, like, being social that night or, like, fear of missing out, like we were talking about the other day. Take care of yourself, prioritize your own needs, even if that means friends aren't going to see you out that night. You got to do what you got to do. So, yeah.
I would say also to add to that, communicating, like having an understanding of who your friends are. So with this particular friendship, it became clear, like, early on that we were able to kind of cancel on each other for a small or big reason, but also communicating that clearly.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, like, when I needed to talk, I was, like, I communicated, I'm, like, I really enjoy that we're able to have plans that have a certain amount of fluidity to them, but when I really needed to talk, I was, like, we really have to get together.
And I would.
Yeah. So there was like, there is a kind of a rigidity that can be applied to it. But most of the time, if you are out and you're like, I'm going to go, it makes me very, very aware of your limits. And then also, and we've kind of spoke recently about like, me being able to say, okay, I'm gonna go,
mm-hmm.
and be okay with being home and not participating.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Definitely. That's our self-care tip for the week. Take care of yourself always.
On a hot night like this.
Oh, but it's cold up there on the mountain.
Imagine going way up there just to look at the stars.
Well, don't you ever look at the stars, Ethel?
I did once, but I'm married now.
And that's our episode for this week. I want to thank Tara for taking the time to talk to us about the Akashic Records, and I can't wait for Tara to come back and speak to us again. I also want to thank all my Patreons. Thank you guys. I wouldn't be here without you. I appreciate all of you so much, and I love learning to get to know all of you and helping you and giving you advice and sharing books and just being a part of this journey of healing together, like, because that's what it's really all about. I also really want to thank Bride of the Fox for sponsoring us this week. Please, again, go check out their Instagram at Bride of the Fox. And finally, I just want to thank everybody who has been following me on Instagram and responding to my stories and everyone who's ordered a reading in the last month. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you. If you ever want to do a self-care tip of the week, a book review, or, you know, suggest your own segment or do a 5-minute diagnosis, please email me at burnblackzine@gmail.com. I hope you guys have a really great week. This week is going to be funky. We have Jupiter moving into Capricorn. So if you have any questions about that or concerns, message me. Let's talk. Let's talk jupes. I love you guys. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Burn Black.